my dad, Pastor Salem, proclaim the good news of the gospel through these broadcasts, we are grateful to be in your homes each week. We hope Dad's message titled, God's Grace and My Freedom, showing how Jesus believed in grace, lived it, and demonstrated it, will be of encouragement to you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Another week has gone by. Here we are, ready to worship the Lord together all over the world. We're gathering at the throne of grace, worshiping the dear Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to be talking about the grace of God today and next Sunday, next weekend too, the grace of God. So tell your friends, there's good news. Tune us in. We also want to thank you for all of the letters that you write. And we just appreciate it so much, and we read every letter we get. And I want to share some of the letters today before we have our message. The first one comes from San Rafael, California, and it's from Jews for Jesus, a lady in Jews for Jesus. And she writes, how blessed were your sermons of the parable of the treasure in the field and the pearl of great price. My sweet Jesus was always my pearl of great price all my life. Now you tell me that I am his. Do you know how wonderful that was for me to hear? Also, he, my beloved, was always my treasure. Now again you declare that I am his. How very wonderful. You have made Isaiah 54, verse 5 real for me. May God be blessed forever, your faithful friend. In San Rafael, California. Isn't that beautiful? And then others, other places, God says in Malachi that we are his people, are his jewels, his precious jewels. And you know why we're precious? Because we're purchased with the blood of the Son of God. Can you imagine that? And that's the grace of God that gave his Son, and he shed his blood. He was dead, raised the third day, and he's alive right now, and we're worshiping at his feet. Beautiful, beautiful. Here is Denver, Colorado. Here's a lady has a question. Thank you so much for the booklet that you sent. And that was a booklet on salvation. I'm going to talk about that in just a few minutes. Thank you so much for the booklet that you sent. It did help a ton. I do have faith that I'm forgiven and I'm going to heaven now. But I have another question. What about the when judgment day comes? I heard that's just for Christian works on earth and not for our sins. So God won't bring up my sin of murder on that day and judge me for it. I appreciate your time. And she's got it exactly right. In the Bible, there are several different judgments, judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah, judgment of the flood, and so on. But there's two judgments we need to think about dealing with people, with our soul. The first is the judgment seat of Christ in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And that is to judge us for the time we spend on earth and give us rewards for our labors. It has nothing to do about getting into heaven, because when we accept Jesus, our sins are paid in full and we're in as good as in heaven. But we're going to be judged for the time on earth. The second judgment is Revelation chapter 20. And this is for all those who reject Jesus. And they're judged, and they're shown to be shown by their life that they do not have Christ, and they're cast into the lake of fire with the devil forever and ever. And oh my God, don't go there, and you don't have to go there. If you just ask Jesus to come into your heart, you could do it right now. Dear Jesus, come into my heart. I've sinned against you, and I ask you to forgive me for my sins, and I'll turn from my sins the best I can. I'll make you the Lord of my life. Thank you, Jesus. That's all. Don't make it hard. Children do it. I did it when I was 10 years old. Here is Victoria, Australia. My wife and I watch your program every Sunday morning on Daystar Satellite. It is absolutely wonderful that you are still teaching and preaching. I am basically writing and requesting for your booklet, Once Saved, Always Saved. Please pray for my son. And we do have a little booklet, about 14 pages, and it, Once Saved, Always Saved. That is, if you accept Jesus Christ and you're born again, you can never be lost. And it's not my ideas, it's all scripture. And you can write, I'll read one more letter, and I'm going to give you the address, so get your pencil and paper ready. Maybe you'd like to get that book. It's sent on a free will offering basis. The last letter I have is here in South Dakota, Milbank, South Dakota. I have friends of us not too far from here. I enjoy the services so much. I am in a wheelchair on Sundays. I dress up for church. You'd be surprised at the number of people we hear from, and they say we'll get all dressed up for church and sit there with our Bible and worship with you. That's beauty. That's beautiful. I dress up for church. I have the tremors so it is difficult to write. Wish it could be me more that I give you. And so here's the shut-ins. People can't get out. And you know what God says? God told Isaiah, comfort ye my people. There are three things a Christian worship hour does. We honor and glorify God. We preach salvation to the lost, and we comfort God's people. And if you want to help us, get your pencil and paper now. And if you want to get this little booklet on salvation, can you be saved and lost? You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402 USA. And if you can send a gift with it, that'll be just fine. If you don't have any money, we'll send it free and postpaid. So I hope you'll write to us. Like to hear from you this week. Now our sermon on the grace of God and the freedom that it gives us. The wonderful grace of God. You know, there are some beautiful words in the Bible. I suppose the most wonderful word of all is the word love. God loves us, and we love each other because we know Christ. A word love. But the word I want to talk about is another beautiful, beautiful word. It's the word grace. The wonderful grace of God. And it is wonderful because it comes straight from the heart of God. And of all the religions in the world, so far as I know, not a single one has a word about grace except Christianity. The wonderful grace of God. St. Paul talked about the grace a lot. He said sometimes he would speak about the grace of God. Sometimes he would use the phrase, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He almost always greets his readers with a variation of the phrase, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we read such phrases as grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus, Romans 1:7. The grace of our Lord and the Lord Jesus Christ, 2 Thessalonians 1:12. The grace of God and the free gift of the grace that one man through that one man Jesus, Romans 5:15. And so this beautiful, beautiful word grace. And Paul uses it in his benediction. And this is what he says. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You know what Paul did when he had that benediction? He used the Holy Trinity. This is what he said. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and then the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. So you have the Father, you have the Son, and the Father, and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity in this benediction. It's just beautiful. So grace is a great and much needed word in the New Testament and is used over and over. So what you say, what is grace anyway when you talk about grace? How do you define grace? Well, you know, grace is found in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Although it's not just that exact word isn't used, you have no single definition of grace in all the Bible, but it's in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. I'll give you some illustrations in just a minute. Jesus never used the word grace so far as we have any record of it, and yet he believed in it, he lived it, he demonstrated it in his life. So grace in the meaning of the old Hebrew term means to bend or to stoop. By that, and it came to mean condescending favor, reaching down. We didn't deserve it, and God reached down. For instance, I had a professor in seminary, Dr. Robert L. Moyer, great man of God, and he defined grace as unmerited favor. God favored us. We didn't merit it. We didn't deserve it, and yet he gave it to us. Whenever you read about grace being given, it has the thought that favor is being extended and is given out by the giver. He's extending grace to us and help to us. Jesus did that so often, time and time. For instance, he demonstrates it about when the woman is taken in adultery. We have that in the Gospel of John. And the woman taken in his adultery, and they brought the woman to Jesus because she has sinned against God. And have you ever wondered where the man was? The skunk was hiding in some bushes somewhere. That's where they ought to have brought him along too, but to bring the poor woman. So they bring her and they throw her at Jesus' feet. And there she is, and she's trembling, and she's humiliated, and she's embarrassed beyond words. And the law clearly says, stone her, stone her. And the self-righteous Pharisees were there, and they already had the stones in their hands. They can't wait to stone this poor soul. And so, Jesus, look at here now. Look at the grace of God. Look at Jesus extending grace. He says, he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. The law says stone her. The old Pharisees are going to do it. Jesus intervened. Grace stepped in. And the woman deserved death according to the law, but from the hands of Jesus Christ, she received grace. And she put her faith in Jesus Christ and trusted Christ and became his daughter. Oh, the wonderful picture. Or there's another picture of grace in the New Testament. Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And Lazarus is sick nigh unto death. And they send word to Jesus, come and heal him. We know that you can help him. Come and heal him. And Jesus waited. He didn't hurry to get there. He knew exactly what was going to happen. And Lazarus dies, and Jesus hasn't gotten there. And when Jesus finally gets here, both Mary and Martha say to Jesus, if you had have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. They're giving him some sarcasm. You could have healed Lazarus and you didn't come. We let you come. We told you in plenty of time, this in days, and you didn't come. That's what they're saying. And Jesus could have snapped back at them and he could have said, listen to me, I owe you nothing. And you just can just forget it. Cool down, calm down. But what did Jesus do? He just, grace of God. The grace of Jesus. Even though the girls are upset, the women are upset, Jesus loves them and cares for them. And he goes and he raises up Lazarus from the dead. The wonderful grace of Jesus. The wonderful grace of God. He could have just told them a word or two, but no. He took the sarcasm, loved them, and raised Lazarus. And I can't talk about this without talking about the prodigal son. And here, grace of the father to receive this wayward vagabond. And you know the story. And here he comes. He spent everything. He's been out in the world living like I was going to say a hog, but the hogs don't live that bad. He just lived with a horrible, riotous life. And he comes back and he's been working, feeding the pigs, and he smells like a pig. And he maybe grunts like a pig. I don't know what he does. And he comes back, and what the dad and father do? He said, go and get cleaned up. And put a little deodorant on and do a little works and we'll talk about it. Oh, no. What did the father do? Threw open his arms, ran to him. Threw open his arms and took him in his arms. Here's my son and he's come back. Oh, my God. Isn't that wonderful Savior, that wonderful Savior? The beautiful grace of God is seen over and over. And so then this wonderful grace of God comes and we find out that, well, let me give you one more, for instance, the Good Samaritan. Here's a man, a little Jewish peddler. He's going down through a valley, and he's robbed and beaten and about to die. And a Samaritan comes, and the Samaritans and the Jews hated each other, didn't even cross the path for each other. And this Samaritan went out of the way to take this Jewish peddler and bound up his wounds and poured in the wine and poured in the balm and took him to the inn and paid in advance. And he says, when I come back, if he owes you more, that's grace. That Samaritan didn't owe that Jewish peddler a thing. And that's the grace of God given to him. Oh, the wonderful grace. And so we have, because of this grace, we have eternal life. You didn't have a single thing to your credit. We didn't have anything at all. And if you have eternal life today, I'm going to tell you what happened. We were helplessly in debt to God. We had no claim on God. We had no righteousness of our own. There was no way we could go into eternity and meet an angry God. We're going to go to hell, sure as the world. And God in his grace stoops down and he comes to rescue us. and he saves us. And so we're told in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, not for by grace you have been saved through faith. By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, lest any man should boast. This scripture tells us that if you are saved, it's because of the grace of God, pure and simple. And that's what happened to me when I came to Jesus. He forgave me of all of my sins. And he's telling us that you can't work for your salvation. He talks about Abraham in Romans 4, verses 1 and 2. And this is what he says. What then shall we say that Abraham, our father, was found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something by which to boast, but not before God. Now notice this. Abraham, he can be justified in the public eyes because he lives such a good life. But God, Paul says, but he can't be justified before God. He can be justified before men, but he can't be justified before God. And so the grace of God comes, and he sends the sacrifice of his son. And oh, this dear Lord Jesus Christ, he made it possible for us to have eternal life. In verse 3 of this passage, it says, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. In other words, Abraham was saved because he believed what God said. And God said, you believe in me. And he says, I want you to go leave your home and go to another place. He believed God and he did it. And what we have to do is just believe God's word. And God says that whosoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. He tells us in John chapter 5, verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth, not worketh, believeth on him that sent me, has everlasting life right now, shall not come into condemnation, that is, won't go into hell. You're passed from death unto life. John 5, 24, my favorite verse in the Bible. And so this wonderful grace of God, it's the one that gives us this wonderful thing. It's not any works of things, nothing that we have done, but it's by the pure, simple love of God and the grace of God. So here it tells us in Romans 4, verses 4 and verses 5, it says, now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. He says, if you're working to get to heaven, you're without grace, then you have a deficit. You're working hard, and the harder you work, the worse it gets. It's a deficit. But to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted to him for righteousness. And if I work to get to heaven, I'm going to have a deficit. I'm going to die in debt. But when I come to Jesus Christ and call upon the name of God and believe God and trust the grace of God and the grace of the Lord Jesus, I have eternal life, and I had nothing. I was on the way to hell, but Jesus came, paid the price, and the grace of God sent his son. And he says, if you trust me, I'll give you everlasting life. That's grace in the wonderful Savior. And so we need to be sure that we're very careful that it is nothing we have done. It's nothing we can accomplish. It's simply faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, simple childlike faith. And then when we get to faith, here we have a problem. When we talk about grace and works, and we have it over and over and over, I hear it all the time, mixture up of grace and works. Here we have a problem. It began with the Pharisees the next day after the church was born, and they swung into it, and that was, you are saved by works. You're saved by works. You're going to get to heaven by your works. If you have more works, good works than bad works, then you're going to go to heaven. You walk out on the street and ask somebody if he's going to heaven. If he says yes, ask him, how are you going to get there? I've been such a good boy. I've been better than old Joe down here the street. And Joe's probably, he's a worse sinner in the sight of men. And they always pick out some poor old soul. Well, I'm going to tell you something. This is total and it is wrong, because God says in Romans 5, verses 1 and 2, wherefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And sometimes we have people say, well, justification means it's just you've been just as if I'd never sinned. Well, that's true, but it's not enough, because it's just justification means it's all of my sins of the past and all of my sins of the present and all of my sins in the future. They're all washed away. Jesus didn't wash away our sins, and then when we accept him as our Savior, take away our sin. But from then on, we're on probation. You better watch out. If you don't step right, you'll go right back into hell. Oh, no, they're all paid, paid in full, past, present, and just. We have been justified by this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. So when we accept Jesus Christ, it doesn't mean we have quit sinning, not at all. We are going to sin as long as we live. As long as we're in this flesh, we're going to sin. And when we accept Jesus Christ, it doesn't mean that we're going to be perpetually perfect. We won't be perfect till we get to heaven. We're all going to sin from time to time. We won't want to do that. We don't want to do that. We will do that, though. And I think when I accepted Jesus Christ, I was born again when I was 10 years old, and I was declared righteous in God's sight for my past sins, present sins, and future sins. And I hadn't been baptized. I hadn't tithed. I hadn't joined the church. I hadn't declared full commitment to Christ. I hadn't dealt with my temper. I had none of these things, but I was a child of God the moment I opened my heart to Jesus Christ. And the moment you accept Jesus Christ with that little prayer, you'll say it as we're told in Ephesians 2, verse 8, for by grace you have been saved. Not you will be. You have been saved by grace, by faith through the Lord Jesus Christ. And this doesn't say you are being saved, or you'll eventually be saved, or you can hope to be saved, or you're saved if you do good works. It says you have been saved by faith, by grace. You have been saved through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my friends, listen to me. I want to tell you something. That wonderful grace is for you. That salvation is for you. And you say, oh, I want the grace of God. I want to use that grace for my salvation. I'm going to tell you how you do it. You just, in your own words, you say, dear Jesus, I've sinned against you. He knows that. Everybody knows that. But he wants you to confess it. I sinned against you, dear Jesus. And I ask you to please come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll make you the Lord of my life. I'll serve you the best I can. And then thank him because it's done. You're born again. You're a child of God. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You've been baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of pure, sinless body of Christ. You're a member of the body of Christ. Oh, you can do that. Now, I'm going to tell you what I'm praying. I'm praying that many of you will make that prayer. And I know that God is speaking to some of you right now, maybe multitudes. And he's saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's the door of your heart. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door. How do you open the door? How do you open the door for the neighbor? If the neighbor door knocks on your door, you open the door and say, come in. I stand at the door and knock. If any man open that door, I will come in, Jesus said, and sup with him. I'll fellowship with him and he with me. Revelation 3, verse 20. I am praying that you make that prayer right now. And in your own words, just don't get fancy. Don't worry about the thee and the thous. Just in your own words, wherever you are, if you're driving down the road, pull over and just make that prayer. And when you pray, the Lord Jesus Christ, the grace of God comes, and the grace of God sends that Son, and the Son of God takes away your sins. And like St. John tells us in the first epistle, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sins. And in the book of Hebrews, God himself tells us, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. No more. They're all gone, washed away in the blood of the Lamb. I am praying to God you'll do that. Now, if you do that, you write to us, and we'll send you literature and help you get started on the Christian way. And you write to the Christian Worship Hour, Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. and you, we'll send you, you write and tell us, give us your address. And also, if you can help us in our ministry. Now, we have to pay our way just like anybody else. And so maybe you want to help us that way and send us a gift. And if you say, think, well, I wonder if they'll use that money for the gospel, or maybe he'll buy a nice fancy car. He looks like he's 95 years old. He looks like he'd like to get a sports car, see? So how do I know he'll use that money for the gospel? Well, we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. It's an international organization. They audit our books, not on only what we get, but how we spend it. Every penny, every nickel. They got a nose a foot long snooping in our stuff. And we welcome them because we have nothing to hide. Now you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now I'm going to pray, and in our prayer, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Iraq. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for all of those who've turned to you. Thank you for all of those who have drifted away and they've come back. Thank you for the shut-ins, and bless them and encourage them. And oh God, we think about those in the persecuted church in Iraq today. They are not just suffering, they're dying, giving their life because they will not deny Jesus Christ. Oh, we take courage as we hear about these wonderful brothers and sisters, and they make us stronger here and wherever we might be in our country, whatever country, and we're going to stand for you even if it means death. Oh, bless and encourage them, Lord. And then help us to lean on you, trust in you, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So we're happy to be with you, and I hope you'll tell others about our telecast. Hope you send a gift, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002. Have to have your help. If you want us to continue, got to pay our way just like anybody else. And we give them good wishes, and we tried IOUs, and they didn't take that. So it's up to you. The only source of income we have from God's people. So just ask the Lord, then do what he says. And oh, there's one other thing I want to mention. This is the week we vote, and you need to pray, and you need to vote. And I think it's a sin if you don't vote, and you ought to look at the candidates. You ought to see which one you think is going to do the job the best according to the Bible, and you ought to vote. And so just do that and pray that God will have his way. He will, because he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and everything lies in his hands. So God bless you. God bless you, everyone. And next week, Lord willing, we'll be back.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.